Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Humphreys, the CEO of Clover Risk Funding, and this is the fourth edition of our podcast, In Clover. At Clover, we do things differently. We provide a premium, one-stop funding service to the insolvency profession, where we lean on our experience in the industry to deliver bespoke solutions that meet the unique needs of our clients. Today, we have both a special edition of In Clover and a special announcement. The special announcement, and therefore the special edition, is we have expanded our team and we have a legal counsel joining the Clover Risk Funding family. Our new legal counsel is Sarah Hamilton, and she joins me on the podcast today. Thank you for joining me, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Obviously, we've known each other for some time. Yep. I don't think you can work in the insolvency industry in Australia or indeed in Brisbane without knowing everyone who works in the industry. But some of our listeners may not know you, and I thought this was a great time for you to tell us a little bit about your background in the law and how you ended up working in insolvency.
Yeah, it sounds like, it's definitely a small industry, Brisbane. Everyone knows everyone. But yeah, I was admitted in 2008. So I started in a small little firm doing sort of your debt recovery, general litigation, and progressed, moved across to bigger firms and got involved in the other side. So acting for liquidators and advising liquidators on all their claims. And I just really enjoyed being part of that and having those complexities that arise, not just in the claim, but everything that sort of goes with those claims, like advising on how to run a creditors meeting and advising on proof of debt. So the sort of not just the claim, but everything around it. And I'm really enjoying it so far, 15 years later, and still involved in it. So far, so good.
And it is interesting, you know, I think everyone I talk to on this podcast has their story about how they got into it. And your story is kind of what we hear a lot. Started at a firm, was doing the debt collection side of things. Yeah. And I don't know, for me, having been in insolvency for a little bit longer than you, I love it because there's something different every day. Yeah. Do you feel the same way about it from that perspective?
Yeah, you definitely don't know what to, you're going to expect, what's going to come in the door. I've had matters where it's had every possible issue come up, like cross-border issues, proportionate liability. Like, it's just, I love it.
Brilliant. Obviously, you've pivoted into working into litigation funding. That was just over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I know that date with more precision than I normally do because you came to work with me at the Feg Recovery Fund. I think at the time we were still in the Attorney General's Department.
We were, yes.
But what led you to the move to funding? Was there something specific or were you just looking for a change?
Looking for a change. Like was in private practice. My husband's a litigator as well. And we've got, at that time, had one child, now have two young children. And it's hard work. I mean, hats off to people who can do those kind of roles full time and have kids. But sort of something had to give. But I didn't want to step away from law. I love the law. I love litigation. And this role kind of came about and it was the perfect fit. It was the kind of work I wanted to do, but without the time pressures and stress that came with private practice litigation. So it was just kind of a perfect fit.
And, I mean, obviously that fit has been an important part of being in funding. But can you tell us what you enjoy most about working in funding as compared to private practice?
Meeting new people. You get your new clients in as lawyers, but you usually work with the same counsel and your same colleagues, whereas this, you're always meeting new lawyers, new liquidators, new counsel, and just being able to brainstorm with people and get everyone's got a different viewpoint on a matter and comes at it a different way. So I like working with people and being involved in it. And also you just get a much more variety of matters that come through the door. Mm. So I'm really enjoying it.
Excellent. I think we've talked about this before. I feel like in my career, I've landed in funding in part because I get the best of everything I liked about legal practice and being an insolvency accountant, which I was also as well. I get the best of it without having, I guess, for want of a better term, the pressure of it.
Yeah.
Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, it's nice if there's a hearing coming up and I don't have to be the one working till midnight the night before. I can just show up to court.
Yes. I mean, at the other end of it, we have to pay the bills.
Yeah, but that's true.
That's a part for me is I get to have all the fun, I think, without all the pressure is the way I describe it. Regular listeners to the podcast will have heard me talk about this concept that a good litigation file sometimes doesn't make for a good funding file. or doesn't make for a good funding opportunity. And I think there's a real misconception at times in the market where people might have all of the elements of what looks like a very good piece of litigation, but it doesn't work for funders, and it doesn't work for us as a funder, or it doesn't work more generally for funders. You will at Clover be part of our file assessment team. You'll be working with me quite closely on that. What do you look for when you're assessing a file for funding? What are the key things that you try to pull out of a brief, or what are you looking for that makes a funding matter appeal to you and make you want to say to Neil and I, let's invest in it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's three key things when looking at the file. It's one is, starting point is there a good case here? Like, that's obviously the key point. What's the case? Is it a good case? Or do we at least think is enough about the case that let's look further into it to see how strong this case is? Mm-hmm. But then obviously from a funding side of it, recoverability and commerciality have got to be considered. I mean, it can be the greatest case in the world and you want to be involved in it because it's really interesting. But if there's no pot at the end of it, it makes it very hard sell for me to try and take to you guys to say, let's fund it, let's put some money up, and can't really do it just for the moral victory.
Well, we used to be able to do that a little bit. But we can't do that anymore.
No.
It is day one for Sarah today, but I'm going to need to make that clear right now. We're not doing public interest litigation anymore.
No.
And there was a third?
Also, the commerciality and recoverability sort of together. And then obviously, like, what the quantum of the claim is. It's like, we don't want to be stuck in a, 10-year litigation for a couple hundred thousand dollar claim. So sort of putting all that together, I think, if it ticks all those boxes, then...
Brilliant. I actually, since I've obviously been in the private space a little bit longer than you, again, I feel like I have thrown you under the bus, given that this is day one for you in private funding. One of the things that's become, I find it really important in the now 13 months that we've been running Clover, is I actually need the team to be good too.
Yeah.
And there are some ridiculously talented lawyers who do insolvency work, brilliant barristers, brilliant liquidators. But certainly, and it's nearly the first thing I look at now, is can I work with the team?
Yeah.
Because it's a funny thing in litigation, particularly, where we could be working together on this file for the next 18 months to 2 years or longer. I mean, hopefully we're out of it sooner than that, but that's a really long time to work with people that you can't work with.
Yeah.
So I don't know, what are your thoughts on that team dynamic? Because really, as funders, we become the fourth pillar of the team, from my perspective.
Yeah, no, a good team is definitely, it's everything. Like, you've got to have that trust and respect, but you also want, not everyone is just going to go, oh yeah, I disagree with everything that's being said. You want people to push boundaries and ask questions, so everyone's testing and finding the holes in the case, looking at it from different angles. But yeah, you've got to trust and respect the team.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I nearly actually put that as the first thing for me now.
Yeah.
I think certainly moving into the private space, I think I very openly say, if I don't think I can work with the team, I'll tell the practitioner. Yeah. I'll tell the lawyer, I just don't think it's going to work. And quite specifically say, I think there's a team dynamic question.
Yeah.
I should also say, there'll be some liquidators listening going, you bastard, I've built that relationship with that lawyer for a long time. I also say in that context, I'll never tell the team to change. Like, if there's a team already in place and there's a team dynamic already in place and we're becoming the fourth wheel, then... there are other funders out there. This is because it's not right for me, the team. I sense it's going to be right for other teams as well. Talking about getting applications for funding through the door and talking about assessing applications for funding, we know we have a lot of practitioners listening. Yeah. And thank you, everyone, for supporting the podcast. And normally at the end, I'd go, I think the line from all the professional podcasters is like, subscribe, share. If you could do that, like, subscribe, share. I can't even get the words out. That would be really good. But Sarah, what would your top three tips be for practitioners or for lawyers thinking about applying for funding? What would you say are the best things you could advise a practitioner to do who may never have asked for funding before or who may have got a decline from funding? What's at the top of the tree for you?
I think very first stage is just come have a chat. I mean, even if it's just over coffee, just have a chat, just have a brainstorm. What's the case? Like, just tell us about the matter and we can work together and see, look, maybe there's some cases here, maybe there's some claims here that they may not have even thought of. Just have a really friendly, informal chat to start with, I think is the best starting point. And then if we sort of figure out, look, there is something there and maybe we can keep move forward, is what do you want? What do you need from us? Like, we offer different types of funding and we want to be able to help if we can. So work out what you need from us and what we can offer you. And then if we go to the next stage, it's you've done the work, you've looked into the case, you've, you know, done all your research into it. Pass us as much as you can. Like, anything you might think, oh, that's not really relevant, it might be. Yep. So just give us all the information, then we can go through it and assess it rather than us having to go back 50 times and annoy them by asking
yep.
all the questions, which they probably have had the information to start with anyway. It's just give it all to us and then we can work back and forward together and hopefully find a way forward that we can work together.
Yeah, I mean, it makes common sense, doesn't it? But I mean, I think for our listeners, and I'll speak to your experience. We'll speak to your experience as well. But in my experience, I'm always surprised at the lack of initial information that I get.
Yeah,
I'm always surprised at we've had that initial casual chat. I think that's a great tip. That's actually my top tip as well. Is
I may have learned it from you.
Well, I didn't want to say that you were cribbing from me, but you know, I think my top tip is the best conversation you can have about funding is let's just go and have a chat, have a coffee. If you want to do it in an office, let's get a whiteboard marker out.
You do actually love a whiteboard marker.
I do love a whiteboard marker. I think every office in the land should have a whiteboard. Have a whiteboard, talk about what you've got and talk about where we can help. I think that is absolutely my top tip. But I always come back to the secondary point, which is tell us everything you've got.
Yeah.
Tell us the hairs that are on it.
Yeah.
Tell us the bad parts, because burying the bad parts in the back end of something, we're going to find it, because certainly our funding approach and certainly the way we do things at Clover is you give us a 500-page brief, we're reading the 500 pages.
Yeah.
We will find it. I had a funding application recently that I looked at, and I think I was, you know, I was deep into the review. I was actually feeling really good about it. In classic Humphrey's Cousin style, I've probably sent Neil 3 or 4 text messages saying this looks good. I like this one. And then I think I got to about page 12 of an advice where the quantum changed.
Okay.
So the quantum had been a number. I won't say the number, but at page 12 of the advice, the quantum actually shifted to being 40% of that number,
yeah.
which very materially changed what I was thinking, because by that point I'd looked at the budget. By that point I'd thought about how I might price the funding. I'd done all of those things, but I'd actually I'd been doing it on what was a false premise that appeared at page, it was either 9, 10 or 11 or 12 of an advice. And it was a great advice.
Yeah.
I loved every aspect of the advice.
Until that part.
Until that part. And that actually meant that we didn't fund that file.
Yeah.
Because once we got a true picture of what the potential outcome might be, the numbers just simply didn't work. And we're certainly not in the business of funding something that it's just going to get us a pay,
yeah,
and might get a little bit of money back to the liquidator. When there are cases out there that talk a lot about, we've got to look at, do the creditors get money back? You know, there's a case called Hall and Pullman that talks to that. But that's that whole information that you give us.
Yeah.
Give us as much as you can. If there is something that is not even potentially negative, but changes the way we might think about the funding, you've got to tell us.
Yeah.
Because we're going to find it.
Yeah, and the other side's going to find it.
The other side's going to find it for sure.
Yeah.
What about timing? You've worked with me for some time. Yeah. You know my views on this. Timing. How soon's too soon?
Never. Yeah, it's come early. And I said, like, we like getting involved early. Like, it might be well, we think there's a case, but we need more information. Like, come to us. Maybe we can help you. Like, do some examinations. Like, fund some advice. Like, the earlier we can get involved, the better. Like, people's memories are better if you've got to ask questions. Documents don't miraculously disappear after a few years. I think, yeah, there's no time too early.
Oh, and I think adding to a point that you said in that answer, you know, we have a different strategic view. But when you think about it, what a practitioner or a set of lawyers or even, I mean, I've had some counsel come to me directly around funding questions, is you're basically getting now, with your addition to our business, 80 years of experience in insolvency for free at the start to talk to you about your strategy. And quite often I find, and you might talk to this too, that the amount of times that the application that comes to me or comes to us isn't what I fund.
Yeah.
I'm sure that happened to you a lot of times as well in your review of matters.
Yeah, and especially like some people might go, like they'll see like a really simple like, oh, there's a preference, like a nice, easy claim to see. But then you actually dig into it and you're like, no, there's actually some other much better, much more juicy claims sitting once you dig a little bit further.
That often are much easier to run.
Yes.
because I do think, and you know, I mean, correct me if you think my view's wrong here, I do think at times in insolvency we're quite blinkered to, it's an insolvency file, so there must be a preference and there must be an insolvent trade and that's what we're going to look for.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way about that?
Yeah, it's always just like, tick of the box at the start. It's like, okay, these are the claims that exist. Okay, close file, they're the files, they're the claims.
So if we go back a step and just to recap on the top tips, I'm actually going to throw go early in at the same time as come in for an informal chat or let's have a coffee as a formal chat. Yeah. I think that's our number one tip, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Early coffee. My order's an ice long black. For those of you who haven't had a coffee with me, I am addicted. So you've joined us today. Day one, I don't think is going well. We both got stuck on a flight that was delayed horrifically.
We made it eventually.
We did make it. And I do feel like I've thrown you a little bit under the bus. We haven't really talked about, you know, stuff away from work. And again, you've worked with me for a long time. You know how important I feel about the stuff that we do away from work for our mental health and for the time we get to decompress from work. What is your go-to away from work hobby to decompress and stop thinking about what we do on a day-to-day basis? Well,
there's no decompressing or relaxing at home. I have a one-year-old and a five-year-old. So it's getting out of the house. But I started sort of last 6 months doing reformer Pilates and I love it. It's like my own little zen time, which isn't, you know, either at work or chasing children or going to birthday parties or under six rugby league, which is now my life on weekends. So yeah, it's finding those moments of peace.
Oh, I love the under six rugby league.
I think it's hilarious.
That's fantastic. I think that's absolutely brilliant. I will be almost demanding now that there is a cricket team that's played for in summer. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Look, Sarah, honestly, we couldn't be more excited for you to be joining the Clover team. We think this is a great move for us. We think the timing's perfect and your experience is perfect for us. So thank you very much for joining us. Thank you very much for joining me today. I know practitioners will be really happy that they'll now have someone else in the Clover family to reach out to and to harangue for answers on their litigation funding applications. So thank you. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I'm really excited to get into it.
So that's the end of episode 4. Thank you very much for listening. I'll say again, on your platform, like, subscribe, give us a review. If you've got any litigation funding questions, you know where to reach us, either via email or phone, or you can drop into the website www.cloverriskfunding.com.